Well, great to be back at the Expo. You know, this Expo actually started the year I was born, so it's a great tradition here. We're particularly pleased. It's always nice going around the grounds, but particularly here in the pavilion. Thinking about years ago, we wanted to make sure that we kept the World Dairy Expo right here in Madison, in Wisconsin, in Dane County, and put in the funding to help make sure we had this great pavilion and other attractions that are part of making this Expo really world class. You got a great team, great staff here, great partnership here with Dane County, the state, and the Expo, and that's a great way to show off America's Dairyland. And obviously this is always a big week for this event, but doubly so with the good news we got earlier in the week when President Trump announced the new trade agreement that'll be in place between Canada, the United States, and Mexico. We were pleased on a number of counts. You remember all the way back to about 2 years ago, when President Obama was still in office, we raised concerns at the time about Ontario in specific and looking at the impact of ultra-filtered milk and the price controls. That spring, after having sent a message to the transition team with the new president, we were very concerned about what Grassland had announced at the time and the impact it would have on American dairy farmers, but specifically dairy farmers here in the state of Wisconsin. I still remember the date, the 18th of April back in 2017. We were down in Kenosha visiting Snap-on Tools for an event that wasn't at all about agriculture, but got the chance with Reince Priebus from Wisconsin, a fellow cheesehead, being the chief of staff, was traveling with the president, pulled him aside before the event, talked about what was happening and asked for his help. You might remember that day in that speech, he actually inserted language that was not originally in the speech. It was about a Buy America manufacturing focus, but instead added language about wanting to stand up for dairy farmers here in Wisconsin and America. Many, many times since then, seeing the president, he's made a point that he was going to see through and see something done. And in Washington, a city where unfortunately a lot of times politicians don't keep their promises, the president did exactly that. We were very pleased with the announcement the other day by changing, by opening up markets in Canada, by pushing back on the Class 6 and 7 that had an impact in terms of price controls that put our farmers at a disadvantage. It's another step forward. It's another bit of good news. That alone is not going to change many of the challenges that folks face in terms of the global market, in terms of the price of dairy products, but it is a bit of good news at a time when all of our farmers could use more good news, and certainly as we enter, as we're going into the World Dairy Expo this week, just one more good thing. It's also nice as part of that too, less covered was, for example, with Mexico, changes so that geographic indications weren't enforced there, so that I always say our Colby's great. We don't care if anybody else wants to try and make Colby as good as ours, but we also make pretty good cheddar, mozzarella, and a bunch of other cheeses along the way. And so anything that allows not only our dairy farmers, but our cheesemakers and others involved in the dairy industry to do well in the state is a good thing for us, and it's part of an ongoing effort. Overall, you know, the state as a whole has got a great economy. Unemployment's at an all-time low for the last 7 months. But we know that with not only milk and dairy prices, but with commodities, we've got a lot more work to be done. I'm hoping when it comes to soybeans and corn and other crops that we'll see similar trade pacts as we saw announced, certainly having two of our top trading partners, Canada and Mexico, online for good trade agreements is a good start. Hopefully we'll get more of that going forward. And that's something we're certainly going to encourage the president, the vice president, Secretary Perdue, Secretary Ross, and others in the administration to work on. We're going to do our best here. That's why we're going to continue. We're going to keep intact the agriculture production tax credit that works also for manufacturing. We're going to continue to keep property taxes low because we know it's incredibly important for our farmers and farm families. We're going to make sure we continue to have a streamlined regulatory process so we enforce good health and good public safety issues, but we cut through the red tape and that we keep away some of the frivolous lawsuits we've seen in the past that hurt not only our manufacturers but other employers. We're going to continue to work on helping to build the workforce we need. That's why we put renewed focus in helping get early on in our schools, a focus in many areas from agriculture to manufacturing to others. And we're going to keep intact the promises we've made and add to it. One of the other good things the Trump administration just recently helped us out with is the health care stability plan. Many of our farm families buy their health insurance on the individual market, not through a group insurance plan like a lot of others do through larger employers. We've seen statewide premiums went up 44% on the Obamacare exchanges. That's just unsustainable for a lot of our families and unacceptable. So we said enough with waiting for Washington. We decided to do something ourselves. Our healthcare stability plan will see a reduction in premiums already. We're already getting notices out going forward that starting January 1st, premiums will be down. Choices will be up, particularly in rural areas. Overall healthcare will be good. That's a stark contrast. You know, Minnesota just did that and they started to see their premiums down. Years ago, though, when they took the exchange, the Medicaid exchange under Obamacare, their premiums went up. So those advocating for us to take the exchange, if we see the experience in Minnesota and other states, we'll actually see premiums go up. That's a bad thing. Instead, we want our plan to go in place, which will actually lower premiums. And that's a big cost for a lot of farm families. And so we're doing our best to help farm families here at the state level. We've got a great team at the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They've been working on aggressively opening up more markets. We've got an initiative to help with dairy exports in particular, because again, there's limitless opportunities, particularly as we go forward with some of these new trade deals. And we've got the Dairy Task Force 2.0. Just in August, they had their meetings and divided up into 9 different subcommittees, which are meeting this month into next month. And we're going to have some aggressive new ideas coming forward from the team there as well. So an exciting time to be here at World Dairy Expo.
The trade agreements are always a give and take deal with the new USMCA. We get a little bit more access into Canada, but it's like 3.5% into a small market. So maybe not a big victory there, but getting rid of Class 7 and Class 6 might be the bigger win.
It really is. I mean, we'll take the 3.6 over 1, but the bigger issue was what we specifically saw with the 54 dairy families that we saw in the state who were part of the group that was cut off, specifically from Grassland, because of those measures that started in Ontario and went across the country of Canada. That being gone, again, that won't change things overnight, but it is another bit of good news at a time when, again, our farm families need good news.
I've heard there might be a little bit of a change where you can allow multiple small families on the farms to get into a single health insurance pool. What about that, do you know?
Yeah, they have what's called association health plans. That's something that the Secretary, U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services, has been pushing. One more option for us to look on the way. You share the risk. That's a big deal. It's also why with our healthcare stability plan, which I should point out had broad-based bipartisan support. Why? Because we believe premiums are going to go down 11.5% from where they were headed. And that's similar. It's taking the risk out. We share part of that risk. It's still done by the market. The government doesn't run the healthcare, unlike some of the issues people have with Obamacare. But it does pull part of that risk out, which is really the key. The broader the risk pool, the more you take the risk out, the more you can keep premiums down and choices up. That's the other advantage, particularly in rural areas where a lot of our farm families obviously are at. It's not only that premiums will go down, it's that choices are going to go up. Before all this with Obamacare, we saw in many of our counties under the Obamacare exchanges, they were down to just one choice in terms of a provider. That really isn't a choice. We've now seen, even since I signed the legislation into law, and most recently in Green Bay when I signed the measure that gives us approval from the Trump administration, you now have a number of insurers announcing they're coming back in the market.
Excuse you.
That's right.
Obviously, as you say, said earlier, it was obviously a step in the right direction, seemingly, this new trade agreement. In terms of China, I know it's very complicated still, but in terms of China moving forward, first of all, what would you like to see there in terms of dialogue, in terms of future, and how well placed is Wisconsin to take advantage of that, should assuming everything goes well?
Well, the great news is we're in a great position. For years here in the state, I've been on a number of trade missions, not only to China, but places all over the world. We're aggressive about it. I've over the years have said no matter what happens in Washington, as long as governors and state delegations are visiting places from Mexico to Canada to China to the UK to other places around the world, that shows we're interested in trade. We're aggressive about it. We've got teams going out even throughout the remainder of this year to pursue trade. We're doing reverse purchasing deals or setups where we're bringing buyers into the state as well as going to other places to pursue that. So we're doing a lot of work out there. So I think we're in great shape. We've used exports, particularly in dairy, but overall when it comes to the ag economy here in the state of Wisconsin, we view exports as a key part, even in areas people might know about. We just had Foxconn, which is makes your iPhones, one of the largest employers in the world, just signed a letter of intent with our ginseng growers in north central Wisconsin. We do They'll even further expand ginseng into China and the Asian market. We already are the largest state by far in terms of exports into China from any U.S. state. We do everything from dairy to corn to soybeans, from beef, but also ginseng and cranberries and all sorts of other things. So we have a very diverse and rich agriculture economy here. In terms of what do we want? Well, I'd love to have, and we're starting to see this with this most recent agreement with Canada and Mexico, and that's what President Trump himself said at the G7, and that is, let's get to a place where we don't have tariffs. If we get to what he himself said, which is a level playing field, if our farmers, if our workers can compete on a level playing field with anyone else in the world, we win. You see here, and you see in the buildings around, not only you see outstanding dairy practices, you see innovation. You see new technology. That's what the World Dairy Expo is all about. And you see in Wisconsin, we do it better than anybody else in the world. And so to the extent that if we have a level playing field because of our tradition, but also because of our future, looking at the technology investments our farmers have made and those that support them, we're in a great position to take advantage of it if we can get to that, either get to a level playing field or get to a level playing field as close as we can get.
And then just to follow on from that, obviously farming, many farming commodities, I think dairy's three, soybeans one, corn and others. There's some suffering still going on out there. I know there's the $12 billion that's being put up by the government, but in terms of that, what is your message to farmers that are kind of on the front line? And do you feel there is political interference with those farmers that has been suggested from Washington?
Well, I know that even in this state, it's an $88+ billion part of our state's economy. So economically, it's incredibly important. But being the son of my mother, who grew up on a farm where they didn't have indoor plumbing until she went off to high school, having most of my cousins either growing up or running their own farms, growing up in a small town where not only the dairy industry but other forms of farming, agriculture was a big deal. I know that it's more than just a job. It's a way of life. And so when our farm economy is hurting anywhere in the country, that means our farmers and their families are hurting. And so for us, we've tried to relieve some of that pressure. It's why it's so critically important going forward, though there's a contrast. Even in this, for example, as you look ahead to the next election, I want to keep property taxes down. I want to keep the agriculture production tax credit in place. My opponent's going to raise property taxes and get rid of that credit. That would be an increase on taxes on farmers. That would be devastating. What we need to do is not just maintain what we have. We need to do more. We need to open up more markets. I certainly think health care, because most of our farm families are buying individual health care plans, giving them more options, even when it comes up to larger association abilities. All those things will help. And my message to farmers is hang in there. We've got your back. We're going to continue to provide support. We're going to continue to work to help you open up new markets. We're going to continue to fight for you at the federal level. Certainly the work that we did just on this deal with Canada in particular is an example of that, is we made the case over and over again for the challenges our farmers were facing. And the good news was we got a victory on Monday, and our hopes will be we can get victories elsewhere when it comes to trade.
Last question.
You mentioned the deal. There seems to be a few more hurdles yet with the election and possibly a switching of power. Is there concern that you get from D.C. that the ground or the progress you've made can kind of hit rewind all of a sudden?
Well, I don't know so much about D.C., but I know just talking to people, even talking to people here in the grounds today, people remember where things were back in 2010. We had 9.3% unemployment. As a parent, I know Tonette and I were worried our kids weren't going to find jobs, let alone careers, once they graduated. That's completely changed. We have not only record low unemployment, this year we have more people in the workforce than ever before. We got a strong foundation to build off of. We put more actual dollars into schools than ever before. We gave new big increases to rural schools. We expanded broadband. We're helping with health care. We've done more things to help our farm families. I think a lot of people just don't want to go back to the way things were years ago. Granted, there are challenges in farming today, but they're global. They're across the felt across the country. They're not specific to Wisconsin, but we want to be in place to do everything we can to help every family, not just our farm families, but particularly our farm families these days.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.